5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Hey, Alec, how's it going?
Good, good.
Welcome to the first episode of our podcast called Partially Derivative, where we talk about the happenings and news in the world of technology and science.
And so I still don't really understand what partial derivative means. So can you give a little bit of background on how you chose the name? Because I know it was something you came up with.
So I am a student at Ohio State University. I'm majoring in computer science and engineering, so I'm a little bit of a nerd. I have taken multiple calculus classes, and the name Partially Derivative is a sort of a play on words with the partial derivative concept in calculus, where it's a function of multiple variables that gives you the slope of, or the tangent plane to a point in three-dimensional space. So pretty, you know, as accessible to a lot of people, right? Yeah, not really. Alec, do you want to give, I gave a little bit of my background. Do you want to give a little bit of your background, like what you're doing right now?
Sure. Yeah. So pretty much out of high school, I joined the military, the Air Force. I joined for air traffic control, and I went through the technical training for that after I went to basic military training. And then I got to my first base, which is in Ohio, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And once I got trained on the job, pretty much just doing the job, and then COVID hit, as everybody knows, and that kind of threw a wrench in everything. So military in general, there's a lot of areas that are affected. We have a lot of older patients on base that are retired veterans, and we have one of the largest hospitals, like in the Air Force. There's a few of them, but it's one of the largest. So the COVID response has been pretty big in a lot of those medical field areas, and they've needed to pull people from other career fields and other places. So it's been kind of a big effort just with COVID, but that's pretty much where I've been at for the past few months. Is I was first at the hospital on base, just screening people for COVID. And then I was working at the pharmacy, getting medication to people. So that's pretty much my last couple of years. And so, you know, like you're doing calculus and engineering stuff. So that's some stuff that's over my head.
So you're just, you know, getting put wherever they need you, basically, right? You're not actually doing, are you actually doing any air traffic controlling right now?
So at the moment, no. And actually after I'm done with like manpower duty, so that's what you have, an AFSC in the Air Force, which is your like primary career field, and you sign a contract for that. But right now I'm doing what they call manpower, and they pull you, and you're not really, it's not like a job, like your higher kind of AFSC. It's more so like you're just doing what they tell you to do. So they've been sending me around doing that stuff. And then, you know, in about a week, I'll be doing honor guard, which as you know, is like funerals and different stuff like that. So that's for 6 months. And for that, you actually kind of do sign a contract. And that's basically to say that your unit can't pull you back at all without like your commander's approval.
Very, very interesting. We got two different perspectives here, you know. Like I said, I'm a student at Ohio State. I'm in Columbus right now. Alex in Dayton. We'll see how things shake out over the course of, you know, however many episodes we end up doing of this.
Yeah, and it's kind of nice with COVID. I mean, COVID's not nice, you know, but it's been kind of cool that there's more avenues now to do online things like podcasts, Zoom meetings, things like that. I think it's really opened up the technology that older people weren't seeing necessarily.
Yeah, and actually that's a good topic, is like how everything has moved online, and you know how there's a bunch of open source stuff that you can use, and that's technology related that we can make an episode about.
Well, yeah, hopefully. I mean, because at least a few years ago, you know, we're only 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. So we've grown up with technology, and you think, how could anything get any more dependent on technology? And then, you know, we have this pandemic, and you see that, like, yeah, that's pretty much like our economy, a lot of stuff went down, but we were able to stay afloat somewhat because of advancements in technology and how we utilized it. So, you know, you think, like, how could we get even more technology in our lives? But, you know, it really has been transformative for a lot of people, I feel like, that otherwise, you know, go watch cable TV and that's about it, are now using computers for Zoom and whatnot.
Yeah, and like I said, we'll do that like a whole nother episode. So I'm particularly interested in more of like the technology side. Like, obviously I'm computer science, so like I'm basically a programmer, or I'm like learning how to become a programmer. So I'm more into like computers and like, you know, the iPhone and like Android phones. Whereas Alec, I think you said you're more into like the conceptual, like physics, you know, science aspect of it.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think both of us, you know, depending on how much time we're able to put into this, could offer some cool perspectives. So I guess for this first episode, we came up with the topic of, you know, the technology. Well, how should I say this? There's
relevant
there's,
technology right now.
Yeah, like every year around the same time, we get certain, you know, pieces of technology. So right now, we're, you know, they're talking about coming out with, you know, graphics cards for PCs and processors and things like that. And it's also a year with the new console refreshes. So this year, the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X will be coming out in November, very, very close to each other. We have Xbox Series X is November 10th and PS5 is November 12th. So these two are directly competing with each other, and you know, they're very close in specs. So that's what we're gonna talk about for this first episode.
And can I say, I mean, for myself at least, we talk about Samsung, and I feel like not being on the forefront of their technology and their phones, I get confused about the naming scheme sometimes. And the Xbox Series X, I mean, I could see parents buying the wrong console, because isn't it just like the Xbox One X versus the Series X is the name? Like,
yeah, there's been, that's something, you know, everybody messes it up. It's not just, you know, you know, parents that are might be out of touch with this stuff. But I mean, I listen to a different podcast called The Full Nerd, and they mess it up. They're even more nerdier than we are. They're like PC people, and they're like Xbox X, Xbox Series X. Like, something went wrong with Microsoft's marketing team. Whereas, you know, PS or PlayStation is just, you know, PS4, PS5. It's simple. So
somewhat, I mean, boring, but you know, at least it makes sense.
Yeah, it's just a name. It's not like, as long as they deliver, you know, the gaming performance, that's all that people really care about. So
the first thing, just getting into it, the first thing that I personally wanted to talk about are the controllers, because that's a really important thing for consoles. I know like PC is very customizable, but the controllers for the new consoles, I was kind of taken aback by the PS5 controller, at least. I don't like it, and I don't know what you think about it, but I love the PS4 controller. I play PS4, not Xbox, and so I was really excited for the new controller for PS5, and it just, to me, doesn't, I don't like it. I don't like how it looks. I don't think it'll be a good fit in the hands, and I've heard things saying otherwise, but I never liked the Xbox controller because of the shape of it, and it looks like the PS5 controller adopted more of that figure.
Well, can you, like, I'm looking at a picture of it right now. Like, yeah. What are the biggest differences between the PS4 and the PS5 controller? That's what, I mean, yeah, it looks funky and it looks different, but, like, are the buttons configured differently? Are the joysticks configured differently?
So if you are going from a PS4 to a PS5, it's sort of like it makes sense. Like the controller, the iteration of it, it makes sense. The buttons are in the same place. You still have the two joysticks right down there at the bottom, not like the Xbox where there's like the right one's lower and the left one's higher. That stays the same. There's better, I think there's a microphone on there, so that's a little bit better. And then, of course, the buttons are in the same place on the right side and the left side. The D-pad still looks the same. And I think they updated the triggers to be touch sensitive. And so there's good new technology in there. It's called the DualSense instead of the DualShock. And I think that's because the haptics are better. But I don't know. If you look at the Xbox controller, because that's another thing, is I don't think they updated theirs at all. So people one console. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying Xbox Series X controller is very minimal updates. I watched a brief video and it's literally just the D-pad is slightly changed. So yeah, it's very similar. They're sticking with the same design.
I mean, so that's to me, that's fairly boring. But at least that stays consistent. To me, the DualSense controller compared to the DualShock, it's not so much of a difference that it would be a deciding factor for the consoles. But I think that, like, if you bought a PS4 and you like the controller for the PS4, I think you'll like the PS5 controller. It's not that big of a difference. But for me, at least, I really like the PS4 controller. So I was hoping that it would at least be pretty similar. You know, the hardware that they put in there for the DualSense versus DualShock, the trigger updates, that stuff is cool. But the part I mainly have a problem with is the, I don't even know what you'd call them, the little parts where you put your hand, they're all the way at the bottom. It's kind of the way they're shaped. It's boxy, kind of like the Xbox One, like that controller. So that's the part of that I have an issue with. It doesn't look like ergonomically comfortable.
See, I mean, I have an Xbox controller right here. I've always played on Xbox. I don't think I've ever known anybody. Well, I mean, I know people with an X or a PlayStation, but I've never like actually played on one, I don't think. Yeah. So I've always been, just because Halo is my favorite game, and you know, I'm a PC guy now, so it's you know, Microsoft has, you know, Windows, so they're gonna integrate the, you know, Xbox controller better with PC than PlayStation. I believe you can use a PlayStation controller on PC, but I don't know. I just always using an Xbox controller and going to a PlayStation controller, it just seems weird, just because, like you said, the button placement. But I mean, Xbox, I think, you know, people are used to it, so that's why they're just sticking with, you know, I'm sure the internal technology is upgraded for Xbox, but other than that, they're just sticking with what they know. I'm not sure, like, it looks different, but I don't know, again, until people like get it in their hands and they can say like, ooh, I like this, it feels better, or, you know, this is really uncomfortable, you know, I don't think you'll really be able to to know for sure until you get in your hands. And I'm not, I wonder if you can also use a PS4 controller with a PS5.
That's something I haven't seen anything on. I haven't seen anything on that.
I don't see why not, especially if it's wireless.
Yeah, you might think that maybe they updated the Bluetooth or something. I don't know if they would prohibit you like that on purpose. I don't see anything. I haven't seen anything as far as the Bluetooth, if they updated that or if it would even affect it.
I don't think so. I don't think, you know, I mean, they have cross compatible games, so they should just have.
Well, because a PS3 controller won't work with a PS4.
Is a PS3 controller wireless, though?
Yeah, yeah.
It is?
I think the Xbox 360 controller wouldn't work with an Xbox One or an Xbox One X.
Let me look it up real quick.
But yeah, the Xbox controller, the reason I say that the DualSense doesn't look as good to me is because it looks like they almost took a PS4 controller and they were like, how could we make this more like an Xbox controller? And that's kind of what it looks like to me. Like it looks so much more like an Xbox controller. And I've been playing PS4 for so long, when I pick up an Xbox controller, it just feels like big and clunky, and I don't know, it's just not my favorite. And that could also just be because of the elevated left joystick. So perhaps maybe with both of the joysticks in the same placement for the PS5 controller, it'll still be the same feel. So it's possible that that's just the reason it feels clunky to me.
Yeah, I mean, the only difference between the, you know, the two controllers is really the left joystick positioning, which makes a big difference, honestly, if you're playing it. But I just looked up an article. It says PS4 controllers will work on the PS5, but only with PS4 games. So that's interesting. Hmm. I wonder that's how...
really weird.
Like, how would you be able to tell? I don't know how that would work.
I don't... And as for... Okay, so I don't know if that's something they're doing on purpose or it's just a limiting factor that they can't control, but if it is something they're doing on purpose, why would you do that? I mean, why would you say, hey, you can use your PS4 controller here, but not here? It almost makes it like, it's like a half measure. It just doesn't really make sense. Like, you can play this game, but not this one.
Yeah, and Microsoft has come out and said, just blanket statement, all Xbox One controllers are working on Xbox Series X. So, and it also says they didn't, they didn't do that for, you know, the last transition from from Xbox 360 to Xbox One, they didn't do it. And from PS4 to PS3 to PS4, they didn't do it. But they are, you know, they're doing it a little bit. They're giving a little more leeway this time.
Well, and you could go ahead and say that it's possible that they always do these types of things for people to purchase it, right? So, like, if they don't want you to, use, like, Apple, if they don't want you to use your headphone jack, they're going to come out with Bluetooth headphones. They'll be like, well, we took your headphone jack, but you should start using Bluetooth. You have to buy our Bluetooth headphones. They work really great. They're $150. And so maybe you could think that about the PS5, like, oh, you have to have a PS4 controller to play PS4 games on the PS5. But like at that point, you're buying the console. You have a PS5. You already spent your money on it. Why not just let you use your controller from PS4, right? Because Nobody's going to be going out and nobody wants to purchase... no one's going to purchase any more PS4 controllers. They're basically trying to make people buy extra PS5 ones instead of letting them just use their PS4 controller with their PS5. So like if you and I are playing together and I say, oh, I can just use my other PS4 controller because One will obviously come with a console, and then you're going to have four or five PS4 controllers if you're a PlayStation guy. So what they're basically doing is, like, if you want to play multiplayer on your PS5, but play a PS4 game or play a PS5 game, then you just can't use your extra PS4 controllers. So, like, you're forced to buy more PS5 controllers instead of just opening it up to, hey, you know, use your old ones.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely, you know, they want to sell new controllers. So
that's something, like, I think Xbox has this release. I think Xbox has won. I think that they won the release cycle, at least.
You're making that statement, and we've only talked about the controllers. That's a strong statement.
that leads me into my next thing. So we talk about controllers. We talk about how Xbox is going to let you use your controller from the old consoles. So I think that's really good, and that will lead to more people feeling comfortable in the Xbox ecosystem. You know, when things transfer like that, you're more likely to stay in their ecosystem. And I think a huge part of the ecosystem for a console is the user interface. And that is something that I kind of want to talk about right now, because PlayStation hasn't said anything about their user interface, at least at the time of us recording this. There's been some leaks, and there's been some, I think it's some, like, schematics or some blueprints or patents or something for PlayStation. But Xbox has just come out and showed everything that they're planning on doing. And I don't know if they've done this yet, but it looks really good.
It's really, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe Sony is, I think Xbox and Microsoft in general is more, they're just more open. They just give you information. Sony is, because Xbox has, you know, they have this whole thing. They've had this whole thing leading up to this launch. They've had, the biggest thing is this Project X Cloud, which is a separate topic, but it's basically their, and you know, Game Pass, like Xbox has Game Pass. So they have, because it's Microsoft, Microsoft owns Xbox, they have all these other things that go along with it. So they don't care. I mean, they're just constantly, you know, launching these new things. I have Game Pass. I think it's a really good deal. It's like $10 a month, and you get you get hundreds of games. But you know, they're, in order to talk about, you know, xCloud on the Xbox, they have to talk about the Xbox. So
yeah,
there's things that they just, you know, they just say, you know, here you go. We're not hiding anything. Sony and the PS5. I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, there's no leaks. They're keeping a pretty tight wrap on it. It's just speculation at this point, which I don't usually like to speculate, because nobody knows. Like, even if there's leaks, that nobody knows.
And that's true. I mean, you saw that with the Apple event. A lot of people were saying, hey, you know, the Apple event is going to be tomorrow. And then the announcement for it was that day, but not the event. And then when the event did roll around, they didn't have iPhones there. And everybody said, I told you there'd be no iPhones. But, you know, people didn't really know that. And everybody had to backtrack. So,
yeah, nobody knows.
That's important, you know, not to speculate. But, you know, I just say, I don't know if they've done this yet, because, like, this picture I'm looking at right now, they have the interface on the computer. They also have it on the phone. And you're right that them being a bigger corporation, like Microsoft having Xbox, but then also obviously PCs, and not PCs, but having a lot of their user interfaces on PC, it's like, it just looks like it flows a lot better. Like, I'm looking at it on the phone here and on the computer, but then it also shows a TV screen. And I think that as far as UI goes, I'd be interested to see if PlayStation even comes close, because the PlayStation 4, at least for me, the interface was very clunky. It was slow. I like the PS4 because I like the controller, but the friend system and like loading the store and things like that. I haven't played Xbox in years, but the store, at least on PS4, is really slow and loading things is slow. So,
yeah, I mean, like I said, it's with Xbox, it's really the integration across, like you said, you know, you got PC, you got Xbox, you got the phone now, because xCloud and Game Pass are coming to the, you know, mobile phones. It's on xCloud is already on Android right now, so you can play.
Really?
You can get the app, and if you have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, you are able to stream your Xbox. I don't know honestly how it works, but it's you. I think you can stream Xbox games to your phones, and
that's crazy.
Apple and the App Store they're a lot more strict with what apps they allow on it, and you know Xbox is obviously trying to break into the App Store market because that's a bigger market than the Android App Store, but they're trying to like fit the Apple terms and conditions to get their app on the App Store so that you know you can get game streaming on your phone.
I think what often happens in the gaming industry or just a lot of industries in general is that one person has a good idea, you know, or whatever, and also like phones and things like that. But one person has a good idea and other people say, okay, we'll take pieces of that. So do you think that we saw the Stadia, is that what it was called, from Google?
Google, yeah.
Do you think that Xbox kind of saw what they were doing and was like, okay, well, they kind of flopped. That was bad, but it's not a terrible idea. The execution was just bad. Because what it sounds like to me is like this Xbox, what's it called? The app?
xCloud or Xbox. I don't know what the app is called, but it's Xbox Game Pass Ultimate.
I mean, that just sounds like Stadia, but for Xbox. That's what it sounds like to me.
I mean, in terms of game streaming, there have been multiple attempts, you know, for a couple of years at bringing, you know, having the best game streaming service. There's NVIDIA GeForce Now, I know, is a popular one. Google Stadia, whatever, like you said, that was definitely a flop. We haven't heard anything about that for months. I know there's one called Shadow, and then obviously there's Xbox and what they called xCloud. So it's definitely, and you know, there's a whole topic of, you know, is it ever going to be as good as, you know, hardware and being on a console or a PC? I mean, it could. I mean, it, a lot of it depends on obviously your internet connection, but and then obviously the back too.
I think the answer is clearly no. I mean,
not anytime soon for sure.
Will it ever be? Yes. Will it ever be? Of course. I mean, I don't see a way that it wouldn't be. But I think a lot of the times what we see is like things become possible. You know, like with Neuralink, with Elon Musk, what they're doing, that's going to become possible for one or two people for 5 years, or maybe it's already possible. But until it becomes possible for like literally everybody, nobody's going to care about it. So I think that's the same thing, is like you could have, you know, the games being streamed on xCloud and they could be decent, but until you can get that out to everybody, and honestly, until it's like streaming from your Xbox, you know, like a lot of people are at home because of coronavirus, you know, and I think a lot of people come home and they sit down at their Xbox or their PlayStation or PC. Nobody is really going to want to bring a controller and stream the game to their iPad or their phone, I don't think, unless it's like the quality of their console. And at that point, I mean, do you sell consoles anymore? What's the point?
Well, that's kind of the, I mean, there are two editions of each console. So there's the Xbox Series X and the Xbox Series S. And then there's the PS5 and the PS5 Digital Edition. Now, there are differences between the Series X and the Series S. There's a $200 difference between in the price, but with the Series S, that's what they're pushing. They're pushing, you know, they're pushing their game streaming service on the Series S because it's cheaper. You say, hey, $300, you got good Wi-Fi, you can just use our game streaming service, or you know, you don't even have to, like with the PS5 Digital Edition, that's like a discless. From my understanding, it's a discless version of the PS5.
So it's the same PS5, but it's just digital. But the Xbox Series X versus the S is going to be pretty, like pretty noticeable.
Right, because there's only a $100 difference between the digital edition of the PS5 and the regular edition, but there's a $200 difference between the Xbox Series X and Series S. So that difference is going to be bigger.
And sure. Okay, this is a little bit off topic, and not really, but this is something that we just started talking about, and I've been thinking about now is like, in the future, inevitably, you will have streaming become almost as good as a console. I don't think you'll ever get it past a PC, maybe, because the more money you want to spend on a PC, you know, you can build it up to whatever you want.
Yeah.
But consoles are going to have to start really competing with PC. And I feel like, you know, they're never going to be... You can build a pretty cheap PC and have a way more powerful gaming device than a console.
And then
nobody's going to want to buy a PS5 for $1,000 if that's what they have to make it to keep up with that performance. So do you think that once they can start streaming games to an iPad, you know, a phone, a TV, basically anything? I mean, what do you think will happen to console sales? Do you think there's even a reason to produce consoles? Or
so eventually we're going to talk about specs, which I have right in front of me. But, you know, in terms of competing with PC, this is the generation that really is, you know, it's the first generation that really does go pretty much toe-to-toe with the PC. And this is coming from somebody who loves a PC. Like, I built my own. So, you know, it has specs and components that aren't even released yet. So they are, you know, potentially bleeding edge components in these things with the CPU and the GPU, and especially the speed upgrade. So just looking at the difference between, you know, the Xbox One, especially, and the Xbox Series X is just monumental because, you know, it's all updated. I mean, it's been, I believe, like 7 years since a refresh, I think. So in terms of competing with the PC, this is the generation that really is going to make or break, you know, how the future basically turns out in regards to that.
I mean, what happens, though, when this brand new technology, like a year down the line, 2 years down the line, where you have this brand new PS5 and it's bleeding edge, and or a brand new Xbox, and then a year or two down the line, your console is slowing down, or maybe not necessarily slowing down, but in comparison to what is coming out, you have this piece of hardware that is staying stagnant, and your friend down the hall says, you know what, I got the same CPU is your PS5 or your Xbox, and I'm just going to pop it out of my computer and get a new one. And now, well, I have, again, the fastest, you know, whatever.
It's a valid point that PC allows you to upgrade whenever you want, and that upgrades come out every single year as compared to, you know, obviously the console refreshes only come out every, you know, 5 years. That's a valid point. However, Unless you have the money to upgrade your processor every single year, upgrade your processor and your GPU potentially every single year, that's not unless you have money to just throw away into that.
Yeah.
The most people with a PC aren't doing that. Like, you build a PC and you keep it for, you keep its current components for, I would say some people keep it for years. I mean, years and years. You don't have to upgrade for years and years with a PC, potentially.
So you don't think that eventually you're going to have these consoles that just cannot rival a PC? You think that...
No, eventually it'll happen. But I'm saying it's going... It could happen next year. It could happen. It could be that next year, you know, this year they're using AMD. They're both using AMD architecture, AMD components, both GPU and CPU. So next year, guess what? They're going to come out with more parts and they're going to be better. But I'm just saying, if you build a PC now, and if somebody builds a PC now and somebody buys an Xbox now, an Xbox Series X when it comes out, and you know, somebody builds a PC that uses very similar parts or like brand new parts, it's going to be roughly the same amount of time before each of the, if we're talking about common people, like the average person like me with a PC and the average person with a console, it's going to be roughly the same amount of time before you upgrade for both of those people, regardless of, you know, if you have the PC or the console, in my opinion.
So if you're 12 years old and you say, I want to buy an Xbox Series X, your parents get it for you for Christmas, and you keep it and you play it just like we all did when we were kids, or versus the person who is also, say, 12 years old, but their parents buy them a PC with the same specs, but they get a PC for some reason. Right. It will cost the same. You can buy the same components. It'll cost pretty much the same to build both of those, or we'll buy one and build one.
Potentially. I mean, the prices haven't been released for the AMD parts yet. So potentially, I mean, it could be pretty close, but it's usually, I mean, PC is going to be more expensive usually, but go ahead.
I've always liked the,
I'm saying the upgrade path, the upgrade time frame is about the same for the average person. Like, I'm not, like, I don't have enough money to, even though I would definitely like to, I built my PC last year. I don't have enough money to just, you know, buy another processor this year. It's, you know, upwards of $300. I'm not going to do that. I just don't.
Yeah. So you're saying, I mean, like, everybody is pretty much going to stay, you know, no, unless you're very, like a very rare amount of people are going to want to buy a new processor every year. So if you're going at it, like, I need this piece of equipment and I need it to last me for 5 years, both of them are going to be pretty reliable.
Yes. In my opinion, yes. I mean, the PC is always going to be ahead of the console just because of, you know, there's so many other things you can do with the PC, but I'm saying the gap is closing is all I'm saying in terms of gaming performance. The gap is closing between the PC and the console, because the console, especially the price of the console, is $500. That's like, if you're only gaming, that's a pretty good deal. Like, I could get into PC versus console in general, but if you're only buying a PC to game, it's going to be cheaper to get an Xbox Series X or PS5.
Okay, so if it were you right now and you were only thinking about gaming, which one would you buy?
I would go Xbox, just because, you know, I've played. I think a lot of it depends on the ecosystem that you've, you know, there's been five iterations of each of these. So I think it's a lot of, you know, you could go back and forth, but I think most people stick with one of them. So I would go Xbox. I think the Xbox just offers a lot more services, not necessarily. I think it could be faster. It could be faster in terms of performance. But in terms of just services, online play, things like that, games, you know, I'm a Halo person. That's probably my favorite video game. So I've always been an Xbox person.
And I'm kind of, I had an Xbox 360 growing up, and then I had an Xbox One, and then eventually in high school I bought a PS4. So I'm really, like, I don't have a side that I'm, like, super dedicated to. The game I want to play is Microsoft Flight Sim, right? So I was thinking of building a PC, but like you said, like you said, though, I mean, the Xbox is $500, and for people that don't necessarily want to spend the money on a PC, I mean, that's where I'm at, is like, I want Flight Sim, right? And so I can't get that on a PS5. And I can get it on an Xbox, but, you know, I mean, now I hear you saying that they're pretty much not as powerful as a PC, obviously, but they're pretty good. So I was worried about Flight Sim and how it would run on the Xbox, but
I mean, yeah, if you're only gaming, if you're only thinking about gaming and your budget is, you know, $500, then yeah, I would go console. If you have the ability to possibly save up, you know, a little bit more money, not a little bit, possibly, you know, over double the console costs. Again, I could get into PC versus console, but the value of the console or the value of the PC is not just gaming. If you know, I can do a lot of different things with this PC, especially because, you know, I mean, I guess it depends on the field you're going into, but so I cannot stress enough how happy I am with the PC.
Yeah.
Especially with the amount of, you know, the amount of money and time I've put into, you know, researching parts and stuff like that. So, and the thing is, with this generation of PC parts, the price per performance of especially the GPUs is really high. Like, I mean, again, this is another topic of just PC parts, but like graphics cards are just, it's crazy. Like, you, like the last gen, the best graphics card, consumer graphics card from the last gen of NVIDIA cards is the 2080 Ti. That costs $1,200. This generation for NVIDIA, the 3070 is poised to offer up to, I believe, 10% more performance than the 2080 Ti for $500.
What? So is there going to be a price reduction on the previous one? Like,
I don't know how that works, but I'm just saying
that's like way cheaper.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is this generate, and it's, I believe part of it might be because of the consoles, but I'm just, you know, that's what I'm saying. The if you're looking primarily at price per performance of parts with the PC, this generation, with both console and, you know, just generic PC parts, is just going to be out of, you know, can be out of this world. It's not going to be, yeah, it's not going to be like anything before. That's why I'm saying, if you're looking at a console, you have to wait. You have to wait until November, no matter what. I mean,
there's honestly, you are going to have to wait way longer than that. I think they're all sold out.
But even if the consoles came out tomorrow, you should still wait. Yeah. Even if everybody could get a console tomorrow, you should still wait, because the PC parts that are coming out in the next couple of months are going to even rival the consoles even more so than they have in the past. And it's not, you know, it's always, we're always comparing the console to the PC. It's never, you know, the consoles don't match the PC in any regards. It's close, but it's nowhere near. So I know I just contradict myself, but
I kind of think like with a console, you're getting what you get. I know we've said this, but you're getting the hardware, and you can't do anything else to it. It's that's what you get. And I think with a PC, whether or not you're talking 2 years down the line or a year down the line when you can buy another upgrade for your PC, like if you have a disposable income, sure. But you know, whether or not you're doing that, just in that moment, if you're comparing right at that same time, you know, this is what's available now. The console is available today, or I can go out and buy, I have all the money to buy all the PC parts I want today. You know, you're always going to have that dude that spends $5,000 on his PC and gets top of the line everything and then says, consoles suck. I mean, I have the fastest.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so no matter what, I mean, if we're talking PC versus consoles, you're always going to have people that compare apples to oranges. So I think it's good to remember that you kind of have to stay in the same ballpark as far as what you're comparing.
And the thing with the specs of the consoles is they don't release the actual names of the processors, the CPUs, really? And the GPUs. Right. Well, I mean, even the list that you gave me, it just says 8 cores, custom Zen 2 CPU. That doesn't tell you anything. If you buy a PC CPU, it's going to be, you know, it's named specifically. It's the Ryzen 7 5700, you know, X processor. That's the processor name. This is just a generic Zen 2 CPU. And then it's custom RDNA 2 GPU.
It could be almost exactly the same thing, but they're not going to say that.
Same thing as what?
Like, like you said, is it the 3080 Ti?
Well, they're coming out with there's different ranges of parts. There's low end and there's high end. So you don't, judging off the specs that they give, because they're not named, you can only go by the specs that they give you, the speeds that they give you on sheet. So it's an 8 core 3.8 gigahertz processor. So that's going to be compared with, I believe, the Ryzen 7 series. But is it a Ryzen 7? I don't know. I mean, it's obviously not, because it says custom. So these are built specifically for consoles. These parts are they're built specifically for consoles. They're not PC parts.
Okay. See, that's something I didn't understand. Is I sort of assumed naively that they're kind of sourcing stuff just like you would a PC. Like you would they're just taking parts and putting it inside an Xbox case and saying, hey, here's the Xbox Series X.
No, the consoles are not, they're not PCs. They're consoles. They're two different, you know, because Microsoft orders these custom spec'd processors and GPUs that are comparable with PC parts, but they're not PC parts.
They and might where's not that even... where's that distinction though? I mean, could you pull a part out of a console and put it in your PC? I mean,
no, you can't.
Why not?
Because they're just not it. The way you build a PC, you have to really understand how to build the PC, because the CPU is a chip, right? Yeah. So you have to put the chip on the motherboard. With these, it's like a laptop, okay? Mm-hmm. You can't customize a laptop. I mean, I think there are some that you can, but they're extremely expensive and it's not fun. The laptops, the way they're built, I mean, obviously I'm not a electrical engineer or computer engineer. I'm not a hardware person per se, but the way they're built is different than the way a PC is built in it could be soldered. It's soldered differently. It's like a phone. Like you can't take the processor out of a phone. It's basically what it comes down to. So it could be soldered into the motherboard differently. It's not, you know, it's not, it's definitely not a CPU motherboard. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, is it kind of like if you had, like, I know Samsung phones, you can take the battery out of, like, is it sort of like if you had like a Samsung Galaxy S5 and you tried to put like an S5 battery into a different Android phone?
Kind of.
Is it at all?
It's a battery, but it's not the right battery.
Gotcha. Okay. I think that makes more sense.
All right.
Yeah, so well, I guess we're already talking about specs. Like,
it's
close as far as I can tell. It's close.
I probably am pretty knowledgeable in this space. I'd like to believe. The biggest thing that I've heard people I'm only knowledgeable because I listen to other podcasts, honestly. So I'm just relaying the information, really. But the biggest thing I've heard is, you know, the storage. So load times on these SSDs are, you know, they're cutting down load times potentially to zero, because they're saying you can launch a game, you know, instantly. So you can, if you want to play Minecraft, you can play Minecraft and then say you want to switch over to Halo. So you switch over to Halo and you're playing Halo. And then you say, hey, I want to play Minecraft again. Normally, on previous generations, they would kill the Minecraft process. So then if you want to switch over to Minecraft, you have to, you know, load it up on the old hard drives, and you have to kill Halo, and then you have to load up Minecraft again. I guess the analogy is better if you're going from Minecraft or the other way. If you're going from Minecraft and you're booting up Halo, because Halo is a bigger game, it's going to take a lot longer on a hard drive with, you know, killing processes instead of suspending them. So they're saying with this generation, is what I'm understanding, is they're going to be able to have multiple instances of different games up at one time, so you can seamlessly transition.
So that's pretty big. I mean, compared to old generations of consoles, that'll be huge.
Right. And again, coming back to the comparison with the PC, that's been on the PC for, I don't know, since it was a thing. The fact that they're just getting it now is a little, you know, a little behind, but obviously the upgrade to, you know, NVMe SSD is the fastest SSD. So the throughput and the bandwidth are going to be monumentally, you know, larger than previous generation. If we're just comparing to previous generation, obviously everything is going to be like crazy.
Well, because it's not crazy. Like the iPhone, where it comes out every year and we're like, oh, okay, it's there's another camera.
They've had,
it's sort of like
years and years to upgrade these things.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, I think that puts it into a better perspective. I don't know if it pushes you one way more than the other, Xbox versus PS5. I think it really comes down to preference.
It really comes down to, what was the word? I believe it was like environment, I want to say. Mm-hmm. Like if you prefer the Xbox environment, or the ecosystem, that's a better word, the Xbox Microsoft ecosystem, which is a lot bigger than PS5s and Sony, then, you know, I think the choice is clear, but I'm biased. So
if it were me right now, and I'd never played a console before, and I was looking at this stuff, I think I would go for the Xbox if I had no prior affiliation. Or no friends, or and nothing like that, you know, because, and that's what it comes down to too, is what are your friends playing? What are they getting? But if you don't have to consider that, and it's just, this is the console, this is what they're doing. I mean, they're really similar. I mean, I don't know what teraflops are really, but the Xbox has 12 and the PS5 has 10.3. Like, I don't know what that even means.
It's just the, you know, speed. So 52 CUs is compute cores. That's kind of like, you know, cores on a CPU. I haven't looked into GPU specifications, but you know, in terms of processor and GPU, they're going to be extremely similar just because they're using both custom AMD. They're using both custom AMD parts for both CPU and GPU. So, and they're the same generation. So the difference is going to be not negligible per se, but
you're not going to be kicking yourself if you buy a PS5 or an Xbox.
Yeah, they're both spec'd out, you know.
If you're making the decision based off of what are my friends playing, what games do I want to play, do I like the interface, you're not going to be sitting there going, oh, god damn it, I wish I had two more teraflops. You know, you're not going to be.
No, absolutely not. That's not a thing.
And then I guess to close out the episode then, the last thing I wanted to touch on is obviously you have the $500 PS5, the $400 PS5, and then you have a $500 Xbox, and then a $300 Xbox. And so, you know, we talked about how the UI, the games you're playing and your friends, you know, those are factors. It's great that the price isn't a factor, because I know people were saying the PS5 might cost more than the Xbox, but they're even. They're neck and neck on price. But the interesting thing is the Series S is a good, I think that's a good entry point for a lot of people. So do you think that that is going to be a big factor in all of this? Because parents are going to see, hey, a new console for only $300, my kid's getting an Xbox, not a PS5. And then that will, I feel like what you grow up with as a kid for your console, I mean, I feel like that's what people play most of the time. So that's getting a lot of people in the ecosystem. Do you think that that'll be bad for PlayStation?
I mean, again, a lot of it comes down to what they're going to do with xCloud. But I think that's what they're pushing with the Series S. But, you know, it costs the same as a Nintendo Switch. So, I mean, that's pretty big.
I mean, that's huge. So
I also believe the Series S is spec'd down. It is not.
Well,
it does not
it
have
is spec'd down.
It does not have the same processor GPU as the Series X, but I don't think it needs to, is the thing.
And I think that, I mean, because you're right, the $100 for PS5, that'll be big for people that are going to buy a PS5. Because I think a lot of people don't buy the physical hardware, they don't buy the discs, but are content with just having a digital library. I think that'll be great for people who are already dead set on a PS5 and want to save some money. But I don't know. I think a lot of the things we're seeing as far as Xbox, they have a better user interface, it looks like. They have, obviously, the phone and the computer you can connect all your stuff to.
The ecosystem is much larger, and that's just a fact of Microsoft.
So to me, it just sounds like Xbox is kind of pushing the envelope and PlayStation is a little bit lagging behind. I mean, that's just how it feels. I don't know if you get the same vibe, but...
Well, absolutely, in terms of ecosystem, but again, it comes down to what you prefer. There was one other thing that I just had. I forget what I wanted to say to close it off. The thing with, you know, xCloud and game streaming and digital editions is if you have the physical disc, I think it's a different, you know, if you have the physical disc for an Xbox Series X, you can potentially play it on, you know, the next generation. I don't know if it's just digital. Like, I mean, for this generation, they do have backwards compatibility, but for, you know, for the next generation, will, if you buy a digital game on the PS5 digital edition, will you be able to play that on the next generation?
I think that's easier. I think that's an easier port than a physical disc, because honestly, my feeling and my thought is that in the next console generation, you're not going to have discs anymore. I just don't see it being there. I think that it was a stretch to have a console that has a disc drive on this cycle of consoles, because
even though the storage is a lot better, it's still, you know, games still take up memory.
Well, that's true, and that's why I say this cycle maybe not. Okay, so maybe it's not very much so a stretch because of memory. But I think in the future, I just don't see the next cycle of big consoles. Like, so I see, like, Xbox Series X will probably have an upgrade in a year or two for no reason, just like the Xbox One had the Xbox One X or whatever. I think that'll happen. Like, they'll keep going and making little iterations. But I think the next, like, PS6 versus Xbox, whatever it's called, I don't think you'll have physical disc drives. And I think that a lot of things will be digital. And I think that's just because, you know, you have Netflix, you have Hulu, you have Vudu, you have all these different things that you can put your movies or in and stream things. And then games, I mean, they're the only real thing I can think of now that I don't know people that rent DVDs or buy DVDs anymore. I think a lot of people just have Netflix.
That's definitely a trend.
Why do we still have physical games? Like, I think that's going to be the last thing to go out the door is, like, why are there physical games still? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's definitely trending that way. I mean, the biggest difference with game streaming is you don't own the games. That's a big thing. Whether you buy it digitally or you buy it, you know, the disc version, you own game.
Think of Apple Music and think of Spotify. Like, right now, 10 years ago, you go and you buy a song on iTunes and you think, oh, great. Like, I have this game, or not this game. I have this song I just bought. But now it's like, I can stream any song that's ever existed. Why would I purchase music? Why would I purchase a CD? So I just think
everything, you're right. Everything is trending towards the subscription model, unfortunately.
And I guess it could be a good thing or a bad thing, but, you know, I think that for games, people don't want to have a subscription. I think that they'll still buy it, but I think it'll be digitally. And I think that's going to be the future. So I guess that was a little bit of a tangent, but that's with the digital edition. I think that it's the first step.
Well, only time will tell. So I guess that's going to do it for the first episode of Partially Derivative with Noah and Alec. Hold on a second. I'll just cut this out.
We need to get sponsors. That's what we need to get. Once we start doing podcasts, we need to get sponsors. This episode.